You know, well, Nick, as an Egyptian who was born here and grew up here and spent most of my life abroad, you hear the stories of so many Egyptians who live abroad, who live in the West, who live in the United States, their connection to their homeland, why many of them for years had immigrated and left Egypt to try and pursue opportunities of a better life outside. When you look at the faces of Egyptians today, for the first time in a very long time, they are optimistic about their future if indeed they can make this transformation in their country, if indeed they can make this change from the 30 years of what they describe as living under oppression and living in draconian systems of governance. They want to make that transformation. So when you look at it from a personal level, you can't help but be emotionally touched by the feeling that for the first time in such a long time, Egyptians feel that they are going to take control and perhaps even be in charge of their own political destiny if indeed the situation plays out the way they want to. So on a personal level, and you know, it's very difficult sometimes because, you know, journalists are always asked to keep it difficult sometimes because, you know, journalists are always asked to keep a distance from the stories that they cover. You feel a sense of that electricity that Jackie was talking about. You feel a sense of pride that is really gripping the country both internally and externally. And I can't tell you how many of my Egyptian friends who live overseas have been writing me, have been messaging me, saying that they wish they were in Egypt, that they wanted to help out with whatever is taking place here, because they really feel that Egypt was going through a struggle, not only for its own future, but for the future of generations to come. And they realize how pivotal and how important this point is in the history of a country that has a history that spans 7,000 years. This is definitely a historic moment for Egypt, if indeed it can bring about the changes and the transformation that many people here have sacrificed so much for, have fought so much for.
I'll tell you what, I mean, wires, as you can appreciate, are falling thick and fast here, and there's some that, suggesting that Egyptian TV, the guests there, are making very critical comments now on the corruption of previous officials. And one TV presenter has suggested that a memorial should be put up to those protesters who died, which is all a great change in tone, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. You know, you got a sense of that today when the Cairo Criminal Court essentially reinforced the decision that was made by the general prosecutor to continue investigating some very prominent Egyptian businessmen and former ministers. The tone of that is being reflected in a lot of the state media. And what that really suggests is what many Egyptians intuitively knew all along. You know, when you ask Egyptians, you know, how do you feel about your government? How do you feel about officials? They'll always describe them to you as being corrupt, as that they abuse their power. And one of the issues that has really come to the light in the past few weeks is that Egyptians on all walks of life have really started to condemn the type of corruption they knew takes place, but very little ever of it being brought to justice. The fact that state media now is actually changing its tone a little bit, the dynamics are changing, it really gives you a sense of the empowerment that perhaps ordinary Egyptians are feeling towards changing that element of their government, because it was indeed by many accounts among the most corrupt, among the most abusive. If these individuals that were so close to the regime, some of them former ministers, are brought to justice, are actually held accountable for the abuse, well, this is the type of Egypt many of the protesters behind me have sacrificed so much for. Now state media is reflecting that as well.
Interesting. I mean, hang on there. I just want to just cut away from Tahrir Square just for a moment to show you a picture of an empty lectern. Not terribly interesting, you might think, but it is because it's in Michigan, where President Obama is due to speak. He will walk onto that stage.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Egypt is not only a very important ally to the United States, a very important country in the geopolitics of the region, and perhaps, you know, in so many other aspects, a center of gravity culturally, socially, economically, and even religiously. But when it comes to the United States, with the exception of Israel, the United States probably has no stronger ally in the Middle East than Egypt. And that really has been a double-edged sword for this regime and for many people, because on one hand, this regime was always seen under the control of the United States. So much of the Egyptian government here is very closely allied to the United States. Egypt is the second largest recipient of U.S.